We started a series a few weeks ago called Not of This World. I believe this is our fourth message in that series, Not of This World. Let's go ahead and turn over to John. Let's go ahead and turn over to John 15. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm so thankful for what we heard in Joe's body. I want to encourage you all, wherever you are, the devil will come in and say, oh, what did God do over there? You know, and he'll try to discourage you and say, why? What's going on with me? Don't yield to that. Pick your head up and say, thank God for what he did in Joe's body. Thank God that that same God knows me. He's no respecter of persons, and it's working in my body, and I'm thankful. And my body's changing. You stay right there. That's called faith. Amen. Glory to God. Don't be distracted by the enemy. Hallelujah. John 15, verse 18. Everybody there? It's on your sheet. It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would keep yours also. But all these things they do for you, or do to you, for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and the Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law, they hated me without cause. But notice verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Go over to chapter 17, verse 9. John 17, verse 9. It says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth, or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So he said, Jesus said, you are not of the world. We're his disciples. We qualify. He's saying, you're not of the world. He said, I'm no longer. He said in verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. He's saying he's leaving. Jesus was going back to heaven. He's going to be crucified. He's going to heaven. But he said, I'm leaving the world, but these are still in the world. And that applies to us, right? We're here. Thank God for heaven. Thank God we're going to get there soon enough. It's going to be so fast. We're going to look back. If Jesus you know, doesn't come back and look back and life's over and we're going to be in heaven. Thank God that we're going there. Thank God that we have that hope. But we're here. And we have a job to do here now. And in verse 14, he said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. They're not of the world, just as God, Jesus is not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Sometimes we say, God, I just wish I was with you out of this. Right? But, not going to happen. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Now, this is something we focused on last week, and I believe we'll go a little bit further in that. He said, I'm not going to take you out, but keep them from the evil one. So many people are looking to get out of the whole thing or escape or, you know, you're going to have challenges while you're in this earth. We're going to have challenges, but we've overcome. That's what we have to keep in mind. I believe we'll be talking about that more. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent them into the world, I have also sent them into the world. So we are in this world. God, Jesus has sent us. That's what we said. The only reason we're still here is because there are other people that are going to join the family of God that haven't come in yet. That's the only reason we're still on the earth. If the whole family has come in, we'd be gone, but we're not. God has others that need to come in. He's not going to leave his family. I mean, imagine if you were somewhere else. Let's say you were visiting another country and you had some of your extended family even. And you were all together. And somehow some of them got separated from you. You know, and you're supposed to get on a bus, but a few of them didn't get on the bus, and you're going on the bus and you're going to the airport, and then you realize you don't have so-and-so. Would you say, it's all right, let's just go anyway. It'll be good. We'll get on the flight. Would you do that? You know, your little cousin or your niece or nephew or your son or daughter, it's all right, we'll go. Would anybody do that? Well, we may not know these people, but God looks at them that way. He knows that they are going to come into his family, and he's not leaving them. They're precious to him. So, well, let's just, you know, let's get out of here. We're saved. Yeah, but there's other parts of the family that aren't. That's why we're here. Yeah, we're saved. Yeah, we know God. Yes, we should be learning about our privileges in him. But it's not all about us. It's not all about getting people saved either. Don't get me wrong. Because what are they getting saved to? They're getting saved to be part of the family and to experience God. So it's not all about going out and getting people. Some people just completely skew it that way. That's all they preach is on salvation. But they're anemic as far as their diet of knowing what the word says and knowing how to fend for themselves in this earth, because there is still an evil one. You may try to go about the work of getting people saved, but the evil one will beat your brains out if you let him. And so that's what happens. But we also have the job of, God has given each one of us something specific to do here now that is part of his plan to move his kingdom forward and to bring his family in. And the Bible says when this gospel, the full gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached to all the people of the world, not to every people type and every tongue, then the end will come. That generation that does that. And it will happen. But right now we have something to do. So we're in the world. We're not of it. We're not of this world. Look at your sheet there. Just for the sake of time, we've gone over these, but just kind of reviewing. Philippians 3:17. It says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose God is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is not here. Yes, you may be a citizen of the United States, or maybe you have dual citizenship, maybe you're a citizen of a different country, but if you're a Christian, you're really just passing through here. This is not your home. First Peter 1, verse 17 says, and if you call on the Father, on your sheet there, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Notice that. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here. You guys, we're just staying here. We're just here for a bit. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice the New Living Translation, same verse. Remember, the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge a reward according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents. We're temporary residents. Everybody say temporary resident.
Temporary residents.
That's you and I. If you're a Christian, earth is not your home. We are aliens. That doesn't mean you have to be weird. Doesn't mean you have to dress funny or wear makeup or anything. No, we're not of this home. Now, your earth, yes, you had parents that were here. Yes, your physical body's here. Yes, you know, you've grown up in certain customs. But the real you, see, you're not going to take this body with you. We're not taking this body with, thank God we're not taking this body with us. It's not made for eternity. It's not built for it. You can already see. Don't have to go too far. And my coach, the football coach at our high school, he was a weightlifting coach. He used to say, you know, you get it to 25, it's all uphill to 25, but after 25, you're going down. That's not a bad confession. But he would say, your body starts to decay. You have to try to maintain it. But your body's deteriorating, and it is. That's not a bad confession. You can walk in health and strength, but it's not the same. That's just the way of this world. That doesn't mean we have to be sick. Doesn't mean you're going to jump around like a 20-year-old either. But there's a day coming, we're going to have a new body, and it's going to make any physique you think looks good here on this earth, blow it away and be built for eternity. Amen. That's amazing. Yeah. We do all kinds of stuff. I don't know all the details, but I know it's going to be good. Got to be better than here, this curse-filled place. But it says, during your time here as temporary residents. Now, we're going to continue on your sheet here, just for the sake of time, because I want to get into what I believe we'll cover this morning. That was kind of setting the stage review, but we'll go a little bit of review on what we talked about last week. Galatians 1:3 says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Notice that. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Now, look at the end of verse 18 through 19 on 1 Peter, just a couple scriptures up there on your sheet. We just read it, but it says, knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot, we were redeemed. Here it says, in Galatians 1:4, what we just read, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Jesus, through his sacrifice, see, Adam was a man given dominion over the earth, and he sinned. And he committed high treason against God. He yielded to the devil. And that lease that he had, he was given dominion, that passed to the enemy, to the devil. The devil became the god of this world. He lorded over man. But Jesus came as a man. See, man lost it. A man had to get it back. Jesus came as a man. He never yielded to temptation from the devil. He conquered sin. He conquered the grave. And he held up the keys of death, and he said, all authority has been given unto me. And then he said in Matthew 28, go therefore, let's read it. Let's just turn over there really quick. Matthew 28. Turn over to Matthew. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, verse 18. Glory to God. Matthew 28, 18. Everybody there? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. See, he has the authority. And then what did he say? Go therefore. See, he has the authority, and he sent us. He said, now you guys go. He's granting us authority. He said, it's been given to me. I'm telling you to go. You know, if you look at a structure of authority in a business or whatever, the president may have all the authority, and he says, now, vice president, go do this. I give you the money. The funds are yours. Go do this. Why? Because the president has the authority to do it. You see that in the military. You go do this. You go do that. Jesus said, it's been given to me. You go therefore. What does that mean? You now have the authority to do what he told you to do. You see it? If he has the authority and he told you to go do something, that means you have the authority and you stand in his stead. That's what we're doing. We're standing in Jesus' stead when we're going around here. We represent him. And we have the authority granted to us from him. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, what we're talking about here. And baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus came and he redeemed us and took us out from the power of the enemy and moved us into the kingdom of God. Now let's read a few of these scriptures more on your sheet where we were. Let's go back to Galatians 1:4. Says, who gave himself for our sins, Jesus, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. So there's an evil age. By Jesus' sacrifice, he's delivered us. Look at 1 John 5:19 on your sheet there. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So the whole world's deceived. It's under the sway of the wicked one. He is controlling so much of what you see. There are only two sides. Let's just get that clear. Okay, there are two sides. You're either on God's side or you're not. Some people say, well, I don't care. I'm agnostic to this whole thing. I'm in the middle. I'm neutral. You're not neutral. There's no way to be neutral. You either are on God's side, you are a Christian, you're in that family, or you're not. Everybody on the face of the world fits in those two categories. Well, I'm not much for religion. I don't really care. Heaven, hell, Jesus, devil, I don't care. You chose a side. Because if you didn't choose Jesus, Whether people know it or not, the devil has control of them. I'm not saying they're demon-possessed. I'm saying they are influenced by this world. And this world, we just read it, Scripture is under the sway of the evil one. You ever want to know why stuff, certain things, look to be orchestrated? And then this word conspiracy, I'm not saying there's nothing to some conspiracy theories, but some people say, there's no way all that stuff's happening. It's the fact that they are being motivated in concert. It's just not by man. They don't understand. There is a spiritual world. There is a wicked one, and he is motivating people, and you're like, man, this all seems to be going a certain direction. It is. People that, well, there's got to be people connected. I'm not saying there aren't certain people connected, but I'm saying there is, this is the connection right here at the end of the line. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. It's true. Well, I don't believe all that. Don't matter if you believe it. That's exactly what he wants, is for you not to believe it. You're very gullible if you don't believe it. That's like believing, you know, there's a thief around. And you say, well, I don't believe there's a thief. I just leave my doors and windows wide open. Great. Thief loves that you don't think, I don't believe in thieves. Oh, perfect. Perfect, because I'm stealing from you, and you come into your living room and you see me and like, I'm not here, you don't believe in me. I don't believe in thieves, you know? You have seen. You don't want these men. He walks out scot-free, right? Because you don't believe he's there. Satan is in the living room of people, robbing them blind, and they're going, I don't know why it's happening, but I know there's no devil. It's true. He loves that doctrine. He loves people that say there's no heaven and hell. Why? They're not going to look to heaven. Guess where they're going? Not because God's so bad, because the only way that you can escape the wicked one, the only legal way, is to believe on Jesus. The hell has been made for the devil and his angels. God's not sending anybody to hell. Satan is going to have that as a punishment, and anybody that will be deceived with him is going to the same place. But Jesus came to redeem them, and anybody that will say, I believe on Jesus, has gotten out of that grasp. It's a legality. God's not sending anyone to hell. He made the way out, and only those that will say, I believe, legally qualify to get out and become born again. It's not about God sending. God made the way. Jesus came. But those that will believe the devil's lies will end up with the same fate, because it's just. John 14:29. And this is Jesus speaking. Now I have told you before it comes, for when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Notice that. The ruler of this world. People say, I thought God was in control of everything. He is. And he gave dominion to Adam. And Adam gave, bowed his knee to Satan. So Satan has a lease on this world. Now, all his power has been stripped by Jesus. But people don't know that. And he's an outlaw. So he is trying to act like he still has authority. He has authority over those that will give him authority. He has to work through men. This is why you see people say, oh, you know, the devil's strong in this area or in a country or whatever. Do you know why that is? It's because the people have yielded to the enemy. If the people change, it's not like he's just got them in grips. He does, but that's only because they listen to him. At the moment they would say, forget all this, I believe Jesus, Satan has no power in and of himself. He's a weakling. He's not this big, giant, powerful thing that you would, the horror movies would like you to believe. Do you realize who motivates the horror movies? It's propaganda. He's not all bad. As far as he's not this bad thing that can just go around and beat anybody up. Not unless we let him. He can't do it. He has to work through men. He's a deceiver. We've talked about that before. That's how he does it. He deceives people and he gets men to yield to him. Therefore, he has power by men. If men turn away from him, he's powerless. But God can only work because he set it up that way. He has to work through men. So men, if they'll yield to God, that's what destroys the work of the enemy, by yielding to him. Satan has nothing over the Christian. You can get all the witches and all the warlocks in all this area and put them together, and they cannot take out one child of God. Why? Who resides in a child of God? The Holy Spirit. They are afraid of a Christian. They tremble. But Christians, most Christians don't know who they are. You've heard me tell this story, some of you, before, but we know these missionaries that were down in Panama. And they were there for years. And there's a witch doctor that got saved. And so they were talking to him, and he said, Christians don't understand how much power they have. He said, when we would know when a Christian was walking through the forest because there was this bright light that we would see coming. He said, if Christians only knew the power that's resident in them, they would not be afraid. But the fact is, Christians don't know. We carry Almighty God with us. There is no power, no demonic power, no power of the enemy that can have anything on a child of God. You don't have to really get everybody you know to pray for you. You just have to know who you are and stand up in his face and say, go, and he has to run. Amen. Has to. It's a legality. But what does he try to do? He tries to push on your senses. He tries to deceive you, to make you think what the word says is not true. That's where the battle is. But as far as the real battle, the real power, he's been stripped. So it says, verse 30 there, I will no longer talk with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. Let's look over on Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Notice that. You once walked according to this world. But like we said in a different area, you're not of this world. But you can walk according to this world. We're not of this world. We're in this world, and we get to choose how we walk. You can walk like the rest of the world walks, which is under the sway of the evil one, or you can choose to walk according to the word and according to the spirit. Our choice. God can't make that choice for us. We choose. But the course of this world is according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That's Satan. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, who, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. He's saying, without God, we're by nature children of wrath, but no longer. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age. You see how many things? This is referring to the devil. If anybody says he has no power, he has only power that men yield to him. But he is, the Bible calls him the ruler of this world, the God of this age. When people say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? Here's your answer. God, these aren't things that he wants to happen. They're not his will. It doesn't please him, but they happen because men have a free will and they yielded to the devil. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And wherever we've yielded to the devil, wherever our ancestors have yielded to the devil, death follows. Death in all its forms. That's poverty. That's sickness. That's relations, relational things broken down. God is not killing people. He's not blowing buildings up. He's not breaking marriages up. This is not the will of God. This is the work of the enemy as men yield to him. It said, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has, what? Blinded. Who do not believe. Now, you don't have to go up and tell people that. You're just blind. Here's what you need. You need to know Jesus. We have to use wisdom, but that's the truth. People are blinded to the truth. It says, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The Bible calls the word light. It says, your word is a light unto my path. It's light and it's truth. When the light comes in, when the truth comes in, people see. People say, you know, like the song goes, I was blind, but now I can see. That's why you can have a person that believes something for years. They don't believe God. But if you can get them under the sound of the anointed word of God, that you can give them scripture. But there's a difference when they hear the word preached under the anointing. Satan doesn't want to be around this. The light can come to where people know. They see. Have you ever experienced? I know I have. Being in a service, it's like I read those same verses. And now I can see something. It's like it's all clear to me in this area. Has anybody ever experienced that? It's like you're in something. You're like, oh my gosh, I see that now. Why is that? The light of the word, this working of the Spirit of God, revealing truth on your inner man, and you see. Well, that's what happens. That's how people that look hardened get under the sound of the word of God, and all of a sudden, something happens into them, and they believe, they act on the word, and they're saved. Hallelujah. That's why we need to get people under that. We need to minister to them in ourselves, but there is something about the anointing, the power of God that can to just break things. The anointing breaks the yoke. Let's turn over to Colossians 1. This is really where I wanted to get to, and we have some time remaining. Here's where we want to focus in these areas. Colossians 1, verse 9. This okay? I know we went through a lot of scripture. We really reviewed a lot of where we come from, so we're on the same page. We've gone over all these scriptures prior, but this is really, these next few things are really where I think the thrust is this morning. Colossians, we've already been touching on it. Colossians 1, verse 9. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Listen, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. I want to read 13 and 14 again. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us. Say, He's delivered me.
He's delivered me.
He's delivered us from the power of darkness. See, we were under that sway. We were under that ruler. We were under the God of this age, but He delivered us and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of His love, in whom we have. Is have past, present, or future tense? Present. We have. We have redemption. How? Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we are of this, or we're in this world, We're in this world, but we're not of it because we've been transferred out. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we're here, but we've been redeemed. We've been transferred into the family of God. But we're in the world with the wicked one. But you know how Jesus prayed, deliver them from the wicked one. Keep them from the wicked one. He's here, but he has nothing on the Christian, and we've been redeemed. But he wants you to believe that you can't do anything against him. He's an outlaw, so he tries to tread into Christians' lives illegally, just like any outlaw, by definition, does. They don't obey the laws. Con artists try to get you to yield to them. Hustlers try to fool you and get your money, which you yielded to them. This devil's the father of all that. He's the master con. He's the master deceiver. He tries to get men to believe that it's okay for him to work in their lives. And if we don't stand up, if we don't tell him to get out, if we don't take our place and realize we've legally been transferred out and that we don't have to put up with anything of his, he will stay. It's like if you had somebody come to your property and set up a tent in your front yard and they told you, I have the right to be here. It's okay that, you know, town of Andover said I could be here. If you said, oh, well, okay, if the town of Andover said, I guess, go ahead, whatever. You want anything to eat? We're eating in a few minutes. Huh? What if they did it real elaborately and really tried to make you believe? That's what a con does. That's what the devil does. He comes in and he tries to get in your house. Eat your food. Push your kids around. Would you allow that in the natural? That's what people are doing with the enemy all the time. Going, well, I guess I just can't do that. And some people have been deceived to the degree that they think those things are God. Did you hear me? They call them acts of God. They call sickness and disease, this is what, well, God's doing this. No, 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 no. That's the work of the enemy. But he's by his deception, has gotten large part of the body of Christ to lay down and accept it. He comes in illegally, pushes his stuff, and people go, this is God. And they receive it. And they don't try to get rid of it. This is how he operates. And he will operate like that. And he will operate in any Christian's life and try to push you. You say, well, I told him to go. You have to know. It's a legality thing. He has to go, but he will push it just like any criminal will that has been around. They understand force, and they understand authority with backing. You don't play around with people that are hardened just because you asked them to do something nicely. No, by definition, they're an outlaw. They don't do things just because you asked them to or because the law said. Right? We have to know who we're dealing with. He's wicked. That doesn't even begin to describe the devil. He is, anything you've ever seen that is wicked, he has inspired. And he's all of it. You might see somebody that's wicked in one area. He's the father of all that in every area. He doesn't care for people. He's despicable. But the good news is we don't have to be afraid of him in any way, shape, or form. Because Jesus has redeemed us. Look at John 8:31 there on your sheet. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth. What's the truth in this area? The truth is that we have been redeemed. The truth is that we're here, we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're citizens of heaven. The truth is that Jesus already transferred us out. The truth is that Satan is afraid of you if you're a Christian. We have to know that he has nothing on us, that he can put nothing in our lives without his consent. That's the truth. And the Bible says the truth will make us free. Now let's look at these next few scriptures. Go ahead, quickly turn over to Ephesians 4:26. I want you to see a few of these scriptures. You know, some days we read, get through two scriptures and that's it for the whole time. Then there's days like this where there's a whole lot of it. But it's the Word that is going to help us. Ephesians 4:26, or it's there on your sheet. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." The margin of my Bible says opportunity. Don't give him an opportunity. Well, let me ask you a question. If he could do anything he wants, it wouldn't matter whether you gave him an opportunity, right? Because he can just do it anyway. The truth is, he can't. He can't do whatever he wants. He has to have us give him an opportunity. Give him a place. We have authority over him that has been granted to us by the head of the church, Jesus. He said, "All authority has been given to me. You go, therefore." We have authority. Jesus has redeemed us. Jesus has bought and paid for us. And even though we're residents here, we're temporary. But while we're here, we can't be pushed around unless we let the enemy push us around. James 4:7. Let's just look at them on your sheet. I think it'll be a little bit more convenient. James 4:7 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he what?
Will.
What? He'll go if you shout real loud. He'll go if you run around in circles and then say it three times. It says resist the devil. Number one, it says therefore submit to God. So we submit to God. We do what he tells us to do. We be where he tells us to be. We yield to him. We say, "God, you want me to be there? That's what I'm doing." Now we're in a place. Doing the work of God. Now the enemy tries to push. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why would he flee? Because he's scared. Why would you flee from something? Do you flee from something that you're completely unafraid of? You're afraid. The Bible says the demons believe and they tremble. Jesus whipped them once, and the power of Almighty God, the mighty Holy Spirit, resides in each Christian. When you face the enemy, God himself is facing. Those demons don't want anything to do with you or me. But they're outlaws and they'll push. And if we don't know, and if we don't take our place, they'll push you over even though you have all the power, all the enforcement you could ever need. We have the Spirit of the living God residing in us. We have not wrapped our little minds around that concept. When I say little, our minds compared to the vastness of God, We can get it, but I don't think we really get it. We have to take it by faith and say that's good enough, because I cannot comprehend how the living God that created this vast universe, we're in one room, in one building, in one little geographic area of a tiny planet in the midst of a solar system that's tiny compared to all of everything, and the God that created all that resides in you and me. Your mind blew apart when we got to the earth. We can't comprehend how vast space is, but the one that created all that is in you and me. He is so big. He is so powerful. It is not on. He had all the power you could ever need is residing in us. But we'll sit there and go, I just don't know why God's not doing something. God, would you please do something? And here in us, because of what Jesus did, is this massive arsenal. And you are facing the enemy with this just unlimited power. Jesus, would you please do something? Help me. Why won't you do anything? He did do something. 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross, and he made it so that if we believe on him, the power of God would come to reside in us, and the enemy would fear you and I. That's what's been done. The problem with the church is we have not woken up to that fact, or we've given mental assent. Yeah, I know that. I've heard it, but this is still here. There's no buts. If this is still here, it's because we've allowed it, because we don't believe it. We've all failed in this area, but we didn't have to. We didn't have to let it. It's because we didn't fully understand what we have. Because once we do, and the more we act on it, we can know it with our head, but believing is not knowing. Believing is acting. If you believe it, you'll act. You'll say, this. If somebody came and trespassed on your property like we were talking about, and you said, well, I don't know. I mean, do they have the right? I don't know. Maybe they're right. Maybe they can stay. Should we kick them off? Well, I don't know. I mean, I read somewhere that this isn't supposed to happen, but here it is. I mean, it's here. Maybe it's true. That's the way a lot of people are in Christianity. Well, I heard it, I read it in the book. I mean, this isn't supposed to be happening, but it's here, so maybe I misunderstood, I don't know. But if you know and you say, this is my property, I know what I signed, I know you don't have any right, now get out!
Amen. Amen.
That's the way you have to be with the devil. Smith Wigglesworth was at a bus station, and this lady, Smith Wigglesworth was a mighty preacher in England, this lady came up with her dog. She was going on the bus, and the little dog was following her. It's her dog, and the bus was going to come. So he said, okay, honey, now go home. And the dog would go around, and he'd come back and go, you know, come back up to the lady. He said, come on, sweetheart, you got to go. You got to go home. Time for mommy to go to the bus. And the little dog came back, and the bus was pulling up, and she said, get! And the dog ran, and he just said he spoke up without thinking. He said, that's how you have to do with the devil. That's what we need to do. We're like, well, you leave. Well, it didn't work. I thought it worked. I thought that would work. I read and I listened to a CD or some message. They said it would work. We need to get, stand up, take our authority. We are here in this world, but the devil has nothing over us. We say, you get now. You have to go. And you don't have to shout it. It's the firmness in your voice. There's nothing wrong with shouting it either. I mean, Pastor, I remember a story Pastor Hagin told. His wife, his daughter, I think it was Denise, had a fever. And he kept getting up in the middle of the night, and then she had the fever. And he had prayed. And I don't think this was, it might have been the night before, but there was something where he had to keep going back. And he had prayed and he had said stuff, and finally he got up and he walked outside, and he was going down. He was kicking all the way to the curb, and he went like that, and he said, I'm kicking devil, you're out of my house. And he went back up to the house and shut the door. He said, get out of here. And then the fever changed and amended. You don't have to do that. That was just something he was demonstrating, something that's saying, this is enough. No. And I've experienced it. You've experienced it. The enemy will push on you and push on your flesh. It's not enough at this point. And let me tell you, it's not enough at that point just to have heard something and know it. It's got to be fresh when you're saying it. This is a key. Because we read this, and right now faith is coming up in us. But we need to keep it. We have to have it fresh so there's something behind it. There's a punch behind it. We know. There's an authority. We have it, and we know. Faith is not knowledge. It's not mental. It's a spiritual force, and you get faith from the Word of God. And when we feed on the Word of God, you remind yourself of what is true, and when you speak, it is with authority you go. Because it's legally, the legality hasn't changed. It's our believing that's changed. People say, well, I said it. Why didn't it work? You just uncovered why it didn't work. What did you say? You said, I said it. Why didn't it work? So what are you looking at to determine if it worked? What you see. So when are you going to start believing that it worked? When it goes, it's too late to believe at that point. It's already done. That's not believing. We believe because the Word says it, he has to go. And when you get to that point and I get to that point, that's when things move. But when we're just kind of sending, so, well, worked last time and I'm not really where I need, but, you know, go anyway. It's like, there's not a punch. That's not something you work up. It's that we need. It's a spiritual thing on the inside. You're not doing it with your head. We are doing it with our heart. Faith is of the heart. Bible says, if any man says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt where? In his heart, he will have whatever he says. Didn't say your head. What does that mean? Contrary, you can say it and believe it in here, and your head's going, what are you doing? That doesn't matter. It's what's in here. Let's look at one more scripture. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Didn't say is one, like one. Seeking whom he may. May. Everybody say may. You know, somebody says, may I have a cookie? That means, will you give me permission? Right? When it says, seeking whom he may devour, it's saying, seeking who will give him permission. Who will let him do it? Resist him steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. This ain't anything new. The devil will tell you what you're experiencing. Nobody ever experienced it. It's so bad. It's a lie. It says resist him steadfast in what? The faith. Believe and resist him. Don't give him permission. And James 4:7 says he has to flee. Amen.